wrote a number of great hymns of the faith, praise God, and this is one of them, and I'm so glad for the words of this song. Father, how we thank you tonight for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, how we thank you that as we see these school shootings and stabbings and horrific events taking place in the news, Lord, we thank you that you're coming quickly. You're going to put an end to all this mess, Lord God. You're going to set up a glorious kingdom where you will rule and reign the world in righteousness and peace. We look forward to that day, Father. And we thank you that because of Jesus Christ, we can be a part of his kingdom. Glory to God. Bless us, Lord, at this midweek service, as we seek your face, as we worship thee, and as we look to your word, and as we seek thee in prayer as a church family. We thank you for it all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 15, church. Glory to God. We're a cappella tonight. Make a joyful noise.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, we'll walk on streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of that city. I want a mansion, a hump and a crown. Everybody know I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold.
Woo! Glory to God. Oh, what a blessing that'll be one day, beloved, to visit one another in each other's mansions. Amen? Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that. Well, praise the Lord. Just a few announcements tonight as we grab our Bibles and be opening up to the book of Colossians. Colossians, back to chapter 2 tonight. Next Tuesday evening will be the men's night out. We're going to the bar to get drunk. No! We're going to the baseball game. And we'll be drinking non-alcoholic beverage. Praise the Lord for that. Ball game next Tuesday night, fellas. It's going to be a blast. And I meant to say, if any of you guys want to come that aren't on my list, you can come. And the church will pay for it. It's my treasure. Treasurer's all right with that. Because we have general admission. He's going, so I got him on the limb here. It's general admission. So, in other words, we can buy as many more seats as we need. Alex, you want to go?
No, I have something else to say.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Pray for my mom and I. We're going to be traveling this week.
Oh, this week's the trip.
Yeah, but we're leaving on Saturday.
On Saturday.
And we're coming back Wednesday, so we should be back Wednesday next week.
If you don't get back on time, don't fret. We'll hold down the fort. We'll be praying for your trip. And we'll also pray that your husband will survive without you. He needs his honey.
No, he's coming.
Oh, praise the Lord, Victor. Nice.
But
she let me come. But also pray that the Lord will put her hedge around our house while we're gone.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of criminal activity in Manchester area.
Like
the bank
got robbed today.
Where?
The bank on Elm Street.
Unbelievable. Right again.
This house.
Again. Yeah, it's right down there. Yeah, the banks are getting robbed like crazy, folks. People are flipping out. People are desperate. And we're going to see more and more of this in these last days. And that's why we've got to be armed with the gospel. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Paul said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Amen.
Glory to God. We have the answer for these people. You don't have to rob a bank. You have to get saved. And you won't be robbing banks. Glory to God. I believe that covers all the bases. Now let's get to Colossians chapter 2. Sunday we'll announce again concerning the ball game. Any of the guys that want to go that aren't on my list, it's okay. We'll sneak you in. Colossians chapter 2. Remain seated, beloved, tonight. I'm really enjoying our studies here in the book of Colossians. It's such an incredible book. We are just so privileged as God's people, I tell you, as we're seeing all these unbelievable events taking place around the world. It's just so good to have the peace of God and to know that heaven is my home. This world's not my home. Heaven is my home. And we need to keep our eyes focused upon the one who's bringing us there, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 tonight, we come to verse 16. And last week we saw that Jesus Christ not only delivered us from our sins, from the law of Moses, from death and destruction, but that he defeated the devil for us. In verse 15, remember that? He spoiled principalities and powers so that we are actually fighting in victory and not for victory. The victory's already been won for us, beloved, by the Lord Jesus. So we come to verse 16 tonight, and this is an incredible progression beginning in verse 10 all the way through verse 17, which we'll cover tonight, 16 and 17. Paul comes back to his train of thought. After Paul was famous for diverging, amen. He'd go off on these bunny trails, man, and he might not come back for 8, 9, 10 verses later to the topic. But I love that because the Holy Spirit was all over that. And in this diversion that he had between verses 11 and 15, we learned so many things about what he accomplished for us on the cross. Now, coming back to his topic in verse 16, remember the five obstacles and oppositions of Christianity in Colossae were Judaism, agnosticism, asceticism, secular humanism, and philosophy of men, right? All these isms were against the Christians and trying to bring them under bondage. And Paul said in verse number 10, ye, believer, are complete in Jesus Christ. You don't need Plato. You don't need, not Plato as you play with, but Plato with a T. You don't need any of that. You've got Jesus Christ. In verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And Father in heaven, how we thank you for these two verses tonight. And Lord, we thank you that Paul makes it clear by the Holy Spirit of God that with Jesus Christ, we don't need to look elsewhere. With Jesus Christ, we don't need the philosophers. We don't need the Judaizers. We don't need the asceticists or the agnostics or the secular humanists. All we need is Jesus, His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Word. That's what we need. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We ask you to bless this teaching of your word from Colossians chapter 2. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we progress through the book, we are strengthened in our walk of faith and encouraged and edified by thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, having revealed the believer's new position in Christ Jesus, and having exposed the fact that he has already defeated our sins and the law and the devil, Paul concludes this incredible section by issuing a solemn admonition for the New Testament believer under grace not to permit himself or herself to be at all disturbed by any who would attempt to put us back under the law in any shape or form. And you know that these people are out there. They're infecting the churches today. Oh, if you don't meet on Saturday, you're not right with God. Who told you that? The Bible didn't tell you that. Or if you don't get baptized in our water, you can't be saved. You know, all kinds of foolishness out there, folks. And I'm so glad that the Bible refutes it all. Though these observances had their proper place under the old covenant, yet they were only a foreshadow of things to come. Observe tonight, 6 things. First, observe that we are not bound by the dietary code of Moses. Look with me at verse 16. In verse 16, Paul writes, let no man therefore judge you in meat. What's that mean? It means nobody can come to your house, Mike, and tell you what you and the wife can eat for dinner tonight. They can't come and say, don't eat pork. They can't come and say, don't eat anything with scales. I need my lobster. I'm so glad that I'm not under the dietary code. Look with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hold your place in Colossians. Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 21. Somebody read that for us.
To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law.
Paul says, I don't want you to think that we are without law, that we don't have any law to go by as Christians. He's saying, I'm not under the law of Moses, but I am under a law. And we're going to look at that. That law is called the law of the Spirit. There is a absolutely monstrous difference between the law of legalism under the Mosaic Code and the law of the Spirit. It is, they are totally diametrically opposed to each other, and you can't intermingle them. Okay? Paul says in verse 21, to those Gentiles who are without law, I became or acted as if I was without law, being not without law to God. I am under a higher law than the law of Moses. He says, I'm under the law of what? Christ. Jesus didn't tell his followers. Jesus never told his followers to obey Moses and to follow Moses' commandments. He said, keep my commandments. Amen? Jesus said, keep my commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. How can we know what Jesus' commandments are? I'm so glad you asked. It's by the Holy Spirit of Christ that is in you. Whatever He leads you to do, that is the commandment of Christ. Amen? So, we're not bound by the dietary code. Let no man judge you in meat. That's what you put in your mouth. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 11. They were very specific what a Jew could eat. and what he could not eat. Many Christians are in bondage to these laws today. Foolishly, because they don't have to be. They think they're Jews or something. They think they're under the old dispensation. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat amongst all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever potteth the hoof, and is cloven footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beast that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because that's a rabbit, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, that's a pig, that's pork. Though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean unto you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Now let me ask you a question. Who is God talking to?
The Jews.
The Jews. It says in verse 1, he spoke to the children of Israel, verse 2. You see that? For any Gentile to claim subjection to this law, they are out of bounds. They're unbiblical, and God won't bless that. Number one, the Jews aren't under these laws anymore. Everybody's been freed for them under the new covenant. Amen? But they could only eat what God told them they were allowed to eat. Why? Why is that? What was God looking for from the Jews?
Obedience.
Obedience. God wanted to be Lord of their lives. So he gave them a bunch of rules and regulations and said, follow my laws and ye shall be my people and I will be your God, right? That's a conditional covenant, which they failed to keep because they fell into adultery and they didn't obey God. We all know that. They were under a dietary code. They could only eat what God allowed them to eat. You know, little Johnny goes to his neighbor's house, he invites him over for dinner. And mom serving meat from an animal that divided the hoof but cheweth not the cud. And he says, Johnny's a Jew, and he says, I can't eat that. Why? Oh, he cloven footed but cheweth not the cud. Well, it's humorous but true. Because under the old dispensation, these were laws that the Jews were under. Now go back with me, hold your place in Leviticus, and go back with me to Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 16 again. Paul says to the Colossian Christians, let no man therefore judge you in meat. See, what's going on here? You've got to read between the lines. The Jews were coming into Colossae and telling these Christians that if they ate of the unclean beasts from Leviticus, that they couldn't be saved. Paul says, that's not true. That's not, God never said that. Not to you. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Flip ahead a few pages, you'll be there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. In verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh. That's who we need to listen to, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Expressly, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's called apostasy. And we're seeing it today. Giving heed to seducing spirits, those are demons, and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, sound like any religion you know of? Forbidding to marry? And commanding to abstain from what?
Meats.
Certain meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. That's why we pray over our food. Lord, bless this food. Nourish it to my body. Why? Verse 5. For it, the meat, the food, is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What's that mean? It is sanctified by the word of God. Does that mean you got to quote scripture over your food?
No.
It means...
I just have a question if you can just back up. Because... I'm just wondering in this, and it's due to something else that I heard previously. So that means that we're allowed to eat the innards, liver, kidney, heart, bloodwurst,
you can eat
pudding, whatever it is.
You can eat, under the New Testament, you can eat anything except blood.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah. That's forbidden in both testaments. But yeah, you can, the gizzards. I love the, on the turkey, my wife always cooks the gizzard for me. And yeah. What else, honey? The heart. I love the heart of turkey. It's delicious. Yeah. But yeah, the answer is yes. Yeah, nothing barred as far as what you can eat.
Yeah, just the blood. So blood.
I skipped the chocolate covered grasshoppers myself.
Never mind.
Look at verse 5. It, the food you eat, is sanctified by the word of God.
And prayer.
And prayer. What's that mean?
Pray and ask him to bless your food.
Right, you pray over your food, but it also means that when he says it, the meat, is sanctified by the word of God, he's saying because the word of God in the New Testament allows these Old Testament unclean meats to now be eaten, they're sanctified by the command of God. When he says the word of God, he's talking about a new commandment that you can now eat these things. It's sanctified, in other words, it's clean because the word of God now permits it. You get that? It's not, you don't quote scripture over your food. It's just saying the word of God now makes it okay to eat it. It's sanctified by the word of God. Okay, secondly, he says back in Colossians chapter 2, we are not bound by the dietary code concerning liquids. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Now, go back with me to Leviticus again. If you held your place there, look at chapter 10 of Leviticus. These laws were specific and detailed. And every Jew knew what he could and could not eat or drink. In chapter 10 of Leviticus, look with me at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Death penalty. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. That ye may teach your children of Israel all these statutes which the Lord has spoken. So, you see, even in what they could drink was specifically ordained by God's word. And they had to go by the law of Moses concerning these things. Thirdly, back in Colossians chapter 2, we are not bound to certain days. We are not bound to certain days. Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. An holy day. You know, these people, you know how you can tell a lost person? You're going to chuckle at this one. They come up to you and they got ashes on their forehead. What's that from? Ash Wednesday. That's from Ash. I used to do it myself. I was Catholic. Yeah. You know what that is? That's a holy day in the Catholic Church. Yeah. Ash Wednesday. Lent. Yeah. They got these Easter. They call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday around here. You know, these they consider holy days. And some of these people, they'll go to church just on that holy day, once a year, you know, or twice a year. You know, that's not Christianity. That's holy days. And God says, you don't have to observe those to be saved. Look with me in Romans chapter 14. The Bible is very specific about. Now, let me ask you a question. What would be a holy day for a Christian? Wouldn't it be every day?
Right.
It should be. Why? Because every day we have the Holy Spirit walking in us. In Romans chapter 14, look at this, talking about holy days. Look with me at verse number 4. Who art thou? Question. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? There's that word again. Judging. See, there are people that say, oh, if you don't get the ashes on Ash Wednesday, you know, you're not going to heaven. Okay? To this To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I don't need to judge my brother. God is fully able to do that and will, right? One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike, like we do. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He says, you don't have to observe certain days and say, oh, this is a holy day. I got to be in God's house. This is a holy day. I'm going to lose my salvation if I don't do it. You know? No. Don't let them judge you on holy days. Go with me to Psalm. Psalm 42. Whoever gets there first, read us verse 4 of Psalm 42. I sure am glad we're not under bondage to these rules and regulations. That'd be a pretty dreary... verse 4.
When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day.
They kept what?
Holy day.
Holy day. The Jews had umpteen multitudes of holy days that they had to appear at the temple 3 times a year, all the males. All from all over Israel would have to go to Jerusalem to the temple to appear before the high priest. Okay? This was mandatory. They had all kinds of holy days that the Jews had to observe in their religion. Look with me in Leviticus. I want to show you this quickly. Leviticus chapter 23. Anybody know what Leviticus chapter 23 contains? The seven what? Think. What it is we'll have to observe. Seven.
Oh, the Passover.
No, throughout the year. Seven specific what? Begins with an F.
Feast.
Yeah, seven feasts. Leviticus 23 has all of the seven feasts outlined, how they were to observe them, when they were to observe them, what they were to do during those feasts. Very, very strict rules and regulations. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 23. Look with me at verse number 8. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is in holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. This is the Passover, the feast of Passover. And he said, the seventh day is in holy day. It's in holy day. Okay? Drop down with me to verse 16. Look at this. Verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be your number 50 days. This is Pentecost. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord on that day. It's an holy day called the day of what? Pentecost. Right. Now, go with me to verse 40. Verse 40. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, and willows of brooks. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So now we've got a series of holy days. He says, count 7 Sabbath days, which are each a holy day. And then on the first day after the seventh Sabbath day, that's 49 days, the 50th day is the day of Pentecost. That's a holy day, right? All these holy days the Jews had to observe. Beloved, we don't have to observe them. I am so glad we've been delivered from all that law of Moses. Glory. Oh, they still, absolutely. Fourthly tonight, back in Colossians chapter 2, we are not bound to observe new moons. New moons. Look at that, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon. Now, go with me to Psalm 81. Whoever gets there first, read us verse number 3. Psalm 81, verse 3. The Bible speaks about new moons. Notice that in Psalm 81 verse 3 what Kyle just read. They were to blow the trumpet in the new moon. See that? In the time appointed. Who appointed it? Who appointed it? God, through the pen of Moses, appointed this to be done. in on our solemn feast day. So another holy day. See that? And it's a new moon. They had to observe that new moon. I'm so glad that we don't. You've got all kinds of astrologers today. Oh, let me give you a reading. No, thank you. No, don't need that. Amen. Glory to God. We don't need that. We've got something better than that. Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 46. In Ezekiel 46, we have a prophecy of the coming temple, the millennial one, and what will occur during that time period. In Ezekiel chapter 46, somebody read us verse 6.
And in the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram, that they shall be without blemish.
In what day?
This new moon.
Day of the new moon. See that? They had to sacrifice all these animals listed in verse 6 on the day of the new moon. I'm so glad we don't have to do that, beloved. I am so glad we're free. We are free from all that nonsense.
You know, title on that says the responsibilities of the prince in the millennial temple. So are they talking about the millennium?
It is. Yeah, I mentioned that as we were turning there. This is a prophecy of the millennial temple and sacrifices that will be occurring during the 1,000 years. Not by us. We're not Jews. This will be done by the Jews.
They'll do that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. And we're going to talk in that in graphic detail about the millennial sacrifices on Sunday nights as we progress through our studies on the kingdom.
Well, that must mean that there's going to be animals. They're going to be raising animals in heaven for this.
Oh, no. The animals will be raised on earth.
They'll be raised on earth?
Yeah, during the 1,000 years.
But and they'll be taken to the...
Don't tell Peter, whatever you do. P-E-T-A.
They'll be taken to the millennial temple.
Yep. Yep. For the whole 1,000 years. That sacrificial system. Yeah. My sister, she loves...
Animals. Yeah. People, you know, it just bothers
I know. But you know what? This is... What is the purpose for millennial sacrifices? The king is present.
Right.
What is the purpose...
And they've accepted the Messiah.
They've accepted the Messiah. They're saved. So what is the purpose for a millennial sacrifice... If you're already saved and the king is present, why would you have to shed the blood of an animal? Why do you think? If somebody did what?
Celebration.
It begins with an S.
Sin.
Somebody sinned during a millennium. They sinned during a millennium, right? Not for forgiveness. They're already saved. For fellowship. You can only approach the king through blood. And as we sin, as Christians, we sin today under grace. All we have to do is confess it and repent of it. The Lord cleanses us from that. Well, during the millennium with the king present, you don't just confess it and have it washed. You need blood to keep you. It's to keep you. It's not to get you saved. The king saves during the millennium. It's for you to maintain fellowship with the king. We're going to talk about that on Sunday night.
And what about all the people that haven't still accepted him during the millennium?
Those people
that are going to be born and, you know...
Those people will have 100 years
to... And they're going to be killed.
They're going to be executed if they refuse to accept Jesus Christ before their 100th birthday.
This is a little confusing.
Oh, yeah. It's there's so much in there. But like I said, wrong night. On Sunday nights, we're going to go through that. And hopefully we can clarify a lot of it. It is, you know what? No man... knows everything in this book.
No.
That's why we're all learning, and we will be learning until we get up yonder to be with the king personally. Glory to God, though, we're not to observe new moons. Fifthly, we are not bound to the Sabbath day. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, on respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. The Sabbath days. We got a bunch of Sabbath keepers today. And these Sabbath keepers, like the Seventh-day Adventists, they try to get you to keep their Sabbath. Well, I got a question for them. Who was the Sabbath day given to?
The Jews on Sabbath.
The Jews! Was the Sabbath ever given to a single Gentile in the history of the world?
Nope.
Never. So number one, ethnically, they don't qualify to keep Sabbath. You have to be Jewish. See? And right now, nobody is to keep Sabbath right now because we're under grace. When the rapture hits, that's all going to change. Did you know that during the tribulation period, I really confuse you. Jews are going to be keeping the Sabbath during the tribulation. Yeah. You know how I know that? Because they're going to have a tribulation temple, and they're going to have tribulation period sacrifices. They're growing red heifers right now in Israel.
Wow.
Bring them. Glory to God. But I don't want to get off on that right now. What he's saying here is, you, child of God, Colossian Christian, you are not bound to Sabbath days. I am so glad of that. Sabbath days were for the Jews. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Let's see this quickly. We're almost done. Exodus chapter 20. It's a fascinating book you hold in your lap. A King James Bible will show you things that absolutely floor you. Only God could have written this book. I say it all the time. It is not humanly possible to contrive a book like this. In Exodus chapter 20, look with me at verse 8. What is Moses giving the Jews in Exodus 20? The law. To who? The Jews. Watch what he tells them. Remember the what? Verse 8. Sabbath day. To keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou, Jews, Israel, shall not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. No work for the Jew on the Sabbath. See that? And it was given to who? The Jews. That is so crystal clear. Paul should not even have to mention it, but he does. And to this day, we got a bunch of people out there that call themselves Christian, and they're in bondage to a day called the Sabbath. It's ridiculous when you stop and consider that it's not even for them. It was for the Jews. Now, in all these observations, the Old Testament dispensation was merely a shadow. Look at back in Colossians 2. Look at verse 17 now. Which are a shadow. Let me ask you a question. Is a shadow real? Is a shadow substance? Is a shadow physical? Is a shadow something you can weigh or touch? No. A shadow is a shadow. It's just a shadow of something else that is real. Right? So watch what he says. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come. Glory to God. It's like a shadow reflecting back into the Old Testament so that they could see the real thing coming in the new. Now, these were merely a shadow. In all the forms and ceremonies and holidays and Sabbaths, we have typology. Typology. The Lord is famous for it in His Word. But since Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and fulfilled all of the redemptive types of the Old Testament, the New Testament believer under grace has everything he needs in Jesus Christ without those observances. Okay? Now, listen carefully. The fact that the Holy Spirit in verse 16 links the Sabbath with all the other ceremonies of Judaism shows us clearly that the rule of life for the believer now is not the law. Not the sacrificial law, not the dietary law, not the judicial law, none of that. He or she now is under the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit called the royal law and the perfect law of liberty. Therefore, he or she is to walk in fellowship with the risen Christ, the head of the body, of which he or she is a literal member. In him dwells the Holy Spirit, who alone is the power and strength of his new life, which is demonstrated in his or her subjection to the exalted Lord, Jesus Christ. When you obey the Lord and you walk in the Spirit, beloved, you are demonstrating to the world that he is real and that his Spirit is in you. And you have a strength that the Old Testament believer never had. The Old Testament said, do, 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 but never gave power to perform. The New Testament says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right?
I am so glad that we have something that enables us to keep His word and to obey His voice, not the law of Moses. Glory to God. What a blessing it is. Sixthly and finally, we are bound to something. Beloved, Paul shows us in closing tonight that we are bound. First, he shows us five things we are not bound to. And now he shows us that we are bound to a new living head. Look with me at verse 17. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come. But the body... Somebody tell me. What's he talking about there when he uses the word body?
The church.
Yes. Yes, Carol. It's not your physical body, though it's included. It's the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Okay? Right on. Verse 17. But the body is of... belongs to, property of, Jesus Christ. See that? What he just did is took a spiritual 12 gauge and blew away every single Judaizer in Colossae. Did you see it? Mm-hmm. He totally dismantled the Mosaic system and said, all you need, body of Christ, is your head, the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is so good. Look at verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You don't need Moses. You don't need the law. You've got the head. And you're going to be okay because of Him who indwells you. Glory to God. Let's finish up in Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's finish up here. Glory to God. Verse number 11. He says in verse number 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Time out. Notice what Paul just did in verse 13. He took the body of Christ collectively as one person and called it a perfect man. Now that word perfect, don't get nervous. It means mature, spiritually grown up. Amen? Verse 13. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Men are deceivers. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, we're all in this working together, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that's the Holy Spirit working in us, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, this is so good. I hope somebody's getting this. He's saying that you are bound to a new head, Jesus Christ. And because He is in you and you and you and you and you and me, we are growing together in Him. What a beautiful picture the Apostle paints for us tonight, church. I'm so glad you're here tonight because He's so wonderful. In closing, listen, beloved, the result of being in subjection to Jesus Christ, rather than being under the law of Moses as a rule of life, will always produce a higher degree of sanctification for the believer. That's because Jesus' standard is far higher than Moses. The believer whose one desire is to display the risen life of Christ in all his ways will indeed lead a purer life than he or she who is seeking to subject the flesh to rules and regulations and laws. This is because one seeks sanctification through the Spirit, while the other seeks it through legalism. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
As long as I'm pastor of this church, I'm going to preach His grace to you till I'm blue in the face. Why? Because you're under grace. You're not under law. You're under the new dispensation, not the old. And we need to be reminded of it. I need to be reminded of it daily.
And
amen?
Legalism is no love.
That's right. It's do this or don't do that. Or, you know, you can't come in here. You got pants on, you know. Blah, blah, blah. Colossians 2, let's finish up. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these two verses. Lord, it is so good tonight to be reminded by your Holy Spirit through your Holy Word that we are absolutely complete in our living head, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that we don't need to go to a temple and sacrifice an animal. I'm so glad that we don't have to observe ceremonies, feasts, Sabbath days, or holy days, new moons, or the like. We have Jesus Christ, and He has made us complete through His blood. Thank you for it tonight. Bless your people. Thank you for the privilege of pastoring this church, Lord. Thank you for the privilege allowing me to open this holy book. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight, and we don't take it lightly. Bless us till you come, in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Glory to God.